Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bitter cold for the next few days. We're going to go outdoors with Steve Kearney. And, of course, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And, yeah, Steve, this is real deal cold right now.
It is. Good afternoon, Steve. Yeah, we're suffering through this. This is probably January bottoming out with the weather. Up in the Northwest here, we have highs tomorrow and the next couple of days like 15 below for highs. So that's going to put everybody pretty much bunkered in here for the next couple of days. And, you know, you just can't handle it out there in a portable when it's that cold. So we're just going to wait. Things are going to moderate. Looks like things are going to change Wednesday, Thursday, and we'll be back at it. But, yeah, right now it's just too brutal out there.
Yeah, for sure. And when things do moderate, that usually bodes well. And it looks like by the end of the week it could be pretty nice and the bite could be pretty good.
You know, it's too bad because the bite has been really, really good up till about 36 hours ago. They were just snapping, you know, very shallow, which has been the case almost this whole winter. They've been very shallow. All the crappies, walleyes have been shallow. And, you know, when you get a real surge like this of cold weather and everything changes, it just shuts everything down. Which is very typical. It happens in the summer as well, but, you know, you just got to tough it out, wait for things to rebound. And, you know, once we get, you know, into the 20s again and things, you know, stabilize, they'll start biting again. It's very predictable, but trying to get out there right now, you know, under these conditions with this web change is pretty futile for the most part.
All right, Steve, when they do move deep, I know you brought it up earlier in the week and wanted to chat about it today. And that is deep water crappies. What's the strategy? What's the approach? Where are you going to find them?
Well, you know, when I get on a lake, Steve, I look for like the deepest water in a particular lake. And a lot of times it's 30, 40, 50 feet of water. And at this time of the year, a lot of things are changing. A lot of these shellfish that I've been catching for the last 6-7 weeks are now going to move out to these deeper basins. And the deeper basins usually have a mud bottom. And usually at night when the sun sets, then the bugs start coming out of the bottom, the zooplankton, all their food starts coming out of the bottom of that mud and rising high. And that's where these crappies, bluegills, walleyes, everything are, you know, taking advantage of that food source. And a lot of it happens at dark. You know, I don't know why. It's usually about 6 o'clock. They start rising and you can see them on your electronics. They're just coming right up in little green lines all the way up to the surface, and the game fish are picking them off as they're coming up, which happens, you know, at the end of January into February. That's where the food is. So they will make that transition to this deeper water really any day. And when it happens, you know, that'll be pretty consistent for quite a while. As long as there's food there, there will be fish there. And, you know, typically they're very suspended type of fish, which means if you're in 30, 40 feet of water, those game fish will be at 20, 15, 18 feet, kind of halfway down. And other times they can be right off the bottom, maybe a couple of feet off the bottom, depending what's going on. But you, right now you want to start looking in the deep water stuff. And, you know, when you get a lake map or you know, whatever you have for your app, and you look for the deepest basins in any particular lake, and that's where you want to start. You want to drill a few holes, put your electronics down, and kind of scan and see what you can see. And if they're there, you'll see them. And just keep moving. Keep drilling holes. Keep moving till you find them. Sometimes they're on the edge of these holes as well. Like if it's a 40-foot hole, they could be at 22, 28 feet on the sides, or they could be right smack in the middle. You just got to keep, you know, moving, hole hopping, and that's really where you want to be looking right now, is that probably 20 to 40 feet of water.
And, Steve, here we are once again in the depths of a cold snap. Once again, we break out of it into the weekend, and you made a really good point. You know, this stretch here, mid to late January, is typically the coldest stretch of every winter that we will get cold days. There's no doubt about it, but this is kind of, you know, that valley, if you will, before things start to warm up. I guess the only good news in it, no worries about ice conditions.
No, the ice is great. No, there's a few heaves and cracks that are starting to happen, and that always, you know, whenever you get, you know, strange weather, like it's super warm for 2 days, then it's cold for 3 days, then the ice will change. So don't assume that the ice is fine. I mean, there's probably 17, 18 inches of ice on most of the lakes in the northwest and up to the north, you know, maybe upwards of 20 inches, but, you know, things happen, things change on the ice. But just change subjects a little bit. I am really impressed that we're not getting a lot of snow. And this is good for the pheasants. This is good for the deer. You know, they can handle the cold. But when you get lots of snow, then they're very vulnerable to predators. And, you know, it's a whole different ball game, and they have a tough time. But right now we just have a couple inches of snow. There's not much going on there. They're fine. They can get away from predators. They can get to food. So the good news, yeah, it is cold, but the conditions right now look really good, and I hope it stays that way. They can handle the cold, but not the snow.
All right, Steve, always good to visit with you. Stay warm. We'll do it again next week. Late in the show, we have Twins Fest earlier in the day, and we'll probably talk sometime between 5 and 6 next Saturday.
Hey, that sounds good. You take care, Steve.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. StepKearneyOutdoors.com. And we're going to take a break, and we're going to go to Nashville. Jess Myers is there for the Pioneer Press, covering the Wild and the Predators tonight. It is warmer, but by Nashville standards, not that great. Foggy, 40 degrees last time I looked here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis. St. Paul, 7 above. Our wind chill stands at 12 below zero. Overnight, we'll dip below zero and probably not go above zero until Tuesday, the way it looks. And once again, we have a cold weather advisory in effect for the Twin Cities. And then further north, we have an extreme cold warning. And this includes much North Dakota and all of northern Minnesota here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Wild on the Road, Predators in Nashville tonight. And pleased to be joined by Jess Myers of the Pioneer Press and his work online at TwinCities.com. Jess, good to visit with you. I understand they're not thrilled with the weather in Nashville today. It's not nearly as cold as home, but by their standards, ugly weather.
A little rain on Lower Broadway last night when I was walking around catching a little country music live, like there's so many options for here in Music City. I will say, despite the kind of cloudy, gloomy weather, number one, you can go out with pretty much just a sweatshirt and a vest on or something like that. It's not really even jacket weather. And number two, and I think this is pretty par for the course here in a tourist destination like Nashville, much like last weekend when I was in Las Vegas, Minnesota Wild fans everywhere here. Kind of fun to see how many folks get on a plane or make the 12-hour drive down here and travel and catch some music and catch a hockey game. Kind of fun.
Yeah, it is a great town, Nashville, Tennessee. Just rave reviews from everybody that have been there. Huge bachelorette party town, I guess.
Yes. And you see that all over the place. You see the pedal pubs and the trailers and the party buses and all of that kind of stuff here as well. You know, it's amazing. I'm at an average hotel here in downtown Nashville. Ran into some friends of mine from Ember Grove Heights this morning at breakfast. Didn't even know they were in town. And, you know, just kind of neat to see the people who want a little bit of a getaway. And you're right, the weather's not perfect, but it's certainly not below zero or anything like that, which is the case back home. And that's what it looks like it's going to be like in Colorado tomorrow and Monday when the Wild go there next.
Yeah, and by the way, the Wild, in a bit of a skid, they've dropped 3 of 4, including a home decision to the Oilers on Wednesday night. And before we dwell on that, there is some good news that some injured players are returning to the fold.
Yeah, we're getting at least 2 injured guys back today. Number 1, Brock Faber, coming back from that upper body injury. First time in his career as a pro, and you know, I don't remember him missing any games as a collegian. First time he'd ever missed time. He missed the last 4 games with that upper body ailment, but he's back in the fold tonight. And then Jacob Lauko, you know, a good, solid offensive player who has missed just a ton of games this season. He's finally back in, giving them a little bit more of some options up top, which is a nice, you know, kind of thing for them to have. And then they made an addition. They brought up Liam Ogren, the number 1 first-round draft pick from 2022. He's played, I want to say, 8 games in a Wild uniform this season without a point. They're moving him up to the second line now with Marcus Johansson getting elbowed in the head by Connor McDavid, and he won't be available. They put Johansson on the injured reserve list already. So needing someone to take his spot, they're bringing up Liam Ogren, giving him, I think, a real opportunity to start kind of building some confidence at the NHL level, and that'll be important too.
Jess Myers joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He's in Music City. It'll be the Wild and the Predators tonight. When I first saw this, I thought, oh, no. Kirill Kaprizov, his status changed, but they made it retroactive, so he is still on track to return at some point. But when I first saw that, and I'm sure a lot of Wild fans had that reaction, all right, he's going to be out for another month or two, but it's almost kind of an accounting thing with the league, if you will. Take us through that decision to put him on, what was it, long-term injured reserve?
They put him on long-term injured reserve retroactive to the day first left the lineup. So December 23rd was the last time he played a game. It's mostly an accounting move, you know, and the Wild being so right up against the salary cap like they are. Bill Guerin and his staff do some amazing things with numbers to make sure that they have enough money to fill out a full roster on an every night basis. So it's mostly an accounting kind of move. Kirill Kaprizov is eligible as of today to return to the lineup whenever they feel he is healthy enough. He's not quite there yet. But I'm with you, Steve. Right after Christmas, I was in Dallas when we found out he didn't make the trip down there, and they said it's a minor thing. It's day-to-day. Well, as of this week, we're looking at almost a month now of a day-to-day injury. So it's obviously a little more nagging or a little more long-term than they suspected. I don't think there are any plans to shut him down like some people are fearing, although as we get closer and closer to that Four Nations break, which is coming in early February, and, you know, Russian players are not participating in Four Nations, so that will essentially be a two-week off break for any of the Russian players. Now I'm hearing some folks starting to express some fear that, well, maybe they'll just wait until after Four Nations for him to come back. I don't think that's the case. I think whenever he's ready, he's going to be back in the lineup. They just don't feel that he's quite there yet.
But he was so good prior to the injury. I mean, one of the top 3-4 guys in the league.
Absolutely. He was legitimately in the conversation for MVP of this league and still might be, you know, if he comes back at the pace that he was on. You know, you look at Alex Ovechkin, who had to take a couple weeks off or maybe more than a month off because of a broken bone, and he's come back just as solid as he was. And by the way, a little bit of a teaser. We were talking about this with some USA Hockey folks I saw last night. Alex Ovechkin now needs 21 goals to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record. 25 games from now, the Washington Capitals play in Minnesota versus the Minnesota Wild. Oh. So just planting the seed. If the numbers work out right, that could be a pretty big night at XL Energy Center.
Yeah, for sure. There's no worry, though, Gretzky fans, that he'll ever get to the all-time points. You look at the number of assists Gretzky logged in his career. I don't think Ovechkin's getting anywhere near that.
No, I think that record is one of those that they say is untouchable, especially in the modern NHL when offense is so much harder to come by, it seems like.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of like DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I mean, there's just some in sports, and Gretzky's assist record appears to be safe. For the Wild, though, let's kind of get back to that storyline. They have dropped 3 of 4, and they've been doing it with a lot of injured players and a lot of key players on the shelf. Is it finally catching up to the Wild right now?
I think you could make that argument just in the simple fact of the way they've lost the last two games. Having a lead in those games or being tied going into the third period and then seeing the game slip away in both cases against Edmonton and then against Vegas last Sunday. That was really the case. And, it's easy to say, man, they're just running out of gas. They just don't have the bodies to keep up, and especially in the third period. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. They have had some struggles in goal. Let's call it what it is. The one win they've gotten recently, Marc-Andre Fleury played brilliantly in San Jose. They got a win against a Sharks team, which has had its struggles this year. Fleury will be in net tonight, and not necessarily a coach's decision. They've had a run of illness go through their locker room. And Philippe Gustafsson has come down with the illness, and so the plan is to start Fleury tonight, and then they don't know if he will be ready to go, if Gustafsson will be ready to go in a backup role. So they actually made an emergency call-up of Dylan Ferguson, who's going to be available to be the backup if Gustafsson is not able to go tonight. We'll find that out once warm-ups start. But just another challenge on the transaction wire for this team, where it seems like every day we've got an injury or an illness to deal with in some form.
Yeah, and by the way, get on a plane tonight, head for Denver, and then play a matinee on Monday, MLK Day, in Denver against the Colorado Avalanche, and that's never easy with their skill.
No, and, Colorado's a team that just beat the Wild a couple days ago, I want to say, in Minnesota. A good division rival, some great games between the two of those two teams. So that will be interesting to see. I was thinking about Colorado today, as a matter of fact, talking to Andrew Brunette, head coach of the Nashville Predators, still the owner of, I would say, the biggest goal in the history of the Minnesota Wild franchise, when he scored against Colorado in the playoffs in 2003, Game 7 overtime, beating Patrick Waugh, the final shot that Patrick Waugh ever faced. And it went in the net, courtesy of Andrew Brunette. So kind of fun to bring back those memories of the early days of this franchise, too.
And I still remember the Bob Kurtz call like it was yesterday. What a great call by the legend Bob Kurtz on that goal.
Yeah, you talk about, the third or the fourth year of the Minnesota Wild.
Right.
Absolutely no expectations going into that. That playoff series with Colorado, this was a very good Avalanche team that had won the Stanley Cup just a couple years earlier. And lo and behold, Colorado takes a 3-1 lead in the series. Minnesota storms back. They get a win in Colorado. They win in overtime in Game 6 in Minnesota. And then here we are in overtime in Game 7, and Andrew Brunette, of all people, charges right to the net and stuffs one past Y, and the Wild move on. Just a fantastic sports memory in Minnesota.
Yeah, and by the way back in the day, the games were here. A News Talk 830 WCCO. Quick update on the U. They sweep the weekend series with Minnesota State at Ritter 8-3 on Friday, and then win on the road in a matinee in Mankato 5-2 today. And the Golden Gopher men, Jess, I know you keep a close eye on that and cover when you can. They had a big win, big first period, and a win on Friday night.
And like they do so often this season, gave up the first goal and then came storming back. This is kind of a fun story in Notre Dame coming to town. This isn't a great Notre Dame team by any stretch of the imagination, but Jeff Jackson, the longtime Notre Dame coach who's won a couple of national titles in his career when he was at Lake Superior State, he's hanging it up at the end of this season. He made that clear last summer, and he's not a guy that loves farewell tours, but I wrote about this in the Pioneer Press this week. you got to wonder if he's going to make a trip up to Maple Grove or to Edina or to some of these places where he's managed to find just some fantastic Minnesota players and recruited him to Notre Dame during his career. And he talked about that a little bit this week, that, you know, the values he sees in Minnesota kids and their, you know, their value of education and in many cases their value of their faith makes them a perfect fit for Notre Dame. So he's got, I think, three of his top four scorers right now are Minnesota kids, and that's always kind of a fun storyline when they come back home wearing the blue and gold there for Notre Dame.
And by the way, they'll drop the puck at 3M Arena at Mariucci at 5. So hockey fans, you can watch almost 100% of that game before they drop the puck down in Nashville tonight. Hey, Jez, look forward to your coverage in the Pioneer Press and online at TwinCities.com.
Thanks, Steve. Always great to talk hockey.
All right, there he is, Jez Myers. Covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press. Once again, they take on the Predators tonight. When we come back, we'll have an update on a very chilly forecast. Things will warm up later in the week, just in time for Twins Fest at Target Field. By the way, we'll be live at Target Field next Saturday between 11 and 5. Twins President, CEO Dave St. Peter joins us. We'll preview the Winter Caravan, Twins Fest, and more here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. On a cold day in January, it's always great to talk baseball. Before you know it, pitchers and catchers will report to Fort Myers. Spring training will be underway, and then it'll soon be opening day at Target Field. Always fun to talk Twins with Twins President and CEO Dave St. Peter. Dave, good to visit with you again.
Steve, how are you today? Happy New Year.
Yeah, always good to think of warmer days on a cold day here in January. Hey, a great tradition resumes with the Twins Winter Caravan.
Yeah, I agree with that, Steve. You know, the Twins have been, you know, part of the Minnesota sports scene since 1961, and one of the staples of every off season, you know, since the team moved here from Washington, has been our Winter Caravan. And we'll be back into the market, so to speak, here in the days to come. All the details are at twins.com, but we're excited about that in terms of players coming into the Twin Cities. Obviously, Rocco Baldelli, our manager, TC, our mascot, and obviously all kinds of people from our front office will be out and about throughout the upper Midwest and throughout the Twin Cities. And then, of course, it leads into a jam-packed weekend. Thursday night, we'll observe the 20th annual Diamond Awards, which recognizes our players, both current and former. If you're a baseball fan, it's a wonderful event that raises money for neurological disease research at the University of Minnesota, and we're really proud of that partnership. And then on the weekend, Twins Fest live on Friday night, sold out at the Fillmore, and then tickets remain available for autograph Saturday. On Saturday afternoon, morning and afternoon at Target Field. So all proceeds benefiting the Twins Community Fund. So a lot of things happening. It's time to start thinking about Twins baseball.
Yeah, and it is amazing about Winter Caravan. That started at the very beginning and have been going all over Twins territory all those years, really uninterrupted since day one, and a great tradition. And of course, Twins Fest, we've talked about it before, in the old days of Twins Fest at the Dome and now at Target Field. And that event has evolved over the years, and you brought up the event on Friday night, and that's been a nice addition to the weekend.
Yeah, it has been. You know, the Fillmore is a wonderful, you know, theater, music hall that is located at Target Field Station, just immediately adjacent Target Field in the North Loop. And, you know, it's perfect for that venue, for that night. And, again, that event is sold out. But Saturday we'll have more than 55 current and former Twins on hand. Some of the biggest names in our franchise history, from Rod Carew to Tony Oliva to Paul Molitor, Burt Blylevin, and others, but of course our current club, Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, they will all be there, and future Twins, Walker Jenkins, among them, one of the top prospects in baseball. So it's a great tradition. We've always had great support from our players, and none of this would be possible without that and their commitment to trying to do right by Twins territory.
And by the way, we'll have 6 hours of coverage next Saturday beginning at 11 a.m. So current and former Twins will be on stage between 11 and 5 next Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. So a big, big week. And then the countdown to pitchers and catchers. And if those words aren't a sign of spring, I don't know what is, Dave.
Well, you're right about that. Obviously, we'll be getting most of our group down to Fort Myers in the early parts of February. I think Feb 12 is the report date for pitchers and catchers, and you know I think Feb 17 is the first full squad workout. So it's right around the corner, and we put our spring training tickets on sale here over the course of the last couple of weeks, and I know we're expecting another huge spring at the Lee Health Sports Complex. And if you're thinking about trying to get out of the cold and want to come on down to Fort Myers, should be on your list. And it's a great baseball hotbed for spring training, with both the Twins and the Red Sox drawing big crowds day after day throughout the months of February and March.
You know, it's funny, when my kids are older and grown now, but one of the great memories of our trips to Florida is always going down and seeing a Twin spring training game. They bring it up inevitably about being able to sit in the sun and watch a ball game down there. Just great memories with the kids.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people it's an annual tradition. For others it's just a bucket list thing to try to do at least once in your life if you've never had a chance to do it. We're blessed with a tremendous ballpark at Hammond Stadium, and you know our complex is designed to give you maybe more access unimpeded, to our players, both our major league players and all of our minor league players. We're really proud of the fact that to this day you can get more closer and really have a chance to interact with players that just doesn't happen in other venues. So, we're excited to get going through next week and then ultimately as we turn the page and get on with spring training here in mid February.
So a lot going on, and all the info on spring training or what's going on this week with the Winter Caravan or Twins Fest festivities, including autograph Saturday at Target Field. Go to MLB.com/Twins to get all that information. David St. Peter joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. The game lost a great ambassador, one of the great broadcasters of all time, longtime Brewer broadcaster Bob Uecker passed away.
Yeah, I think everybody with the Twins organization sends condolences to the Bob's family and everybody associated with the Brewers. And what an unbelievable figure he was. Certainly, his playing career well documented, but what he brought in terms of a sense of humor. I think he reminded everybody in our sport to never take it too seriously, which is something I think we all fall victim to from time to time. And then what an icon he became, off the field, and both in Hollywood and obviously his major league, and what I think of him with appearing with Johnny Carson, and just an unbelievable in his Hall of Fame speech. If you've never seen it, it's worth a watch to track it down and see how he approached that. So, baseball's we lost a giant with Bob Uecker's passing, and his legacy will live on forever, but it just won't be the same.
And by the way, we invite folks to listen to the interview. Corey Provis, the Twins television voice, visited with Chad Hartman, and Corey spent time in the booth with Bob Uecker in his days with the Brewers before he joined the Twins, and that just tremendous visit about Bob Uecker, and we invite you to check that out as well. And speaking of Corey, Twins television, big changes coming to Twins TV this year, Dave.
Yeah, that's true. We obviously had announced really early in the offseason that we were going to be moving away from what was Bally Sports North, what is now FanDuel Sports North. And, we're charting a new course in partnership with Major League Baseball. The brand is Twins.TV. And we're really excited. Corey Provis will be back as the primary play-by-play voice. Justin Morneau returns as our main analyst, but there will be a host of other analysts led by LaCroy Hawkins, Denard Spann, Trevor Plouffe, and others. And, the I think the future is here, so to speak, for Twins television. I think the two things that fans really need to know is, one, that you'll be able to watch the games through traditional cable and satellite, and we'll have more information on that in the weeks to come. But then maybe most importantly, we'll be launching a new Twins.tv streaming option for fans that maybe don't have cable or satellite, and we expect to announce that on February the 11th. I think it's going to be a game changer for fans really throughout the region.
And I would assume people would even be able to download an app and get it on their smartphone, et cetera.
100%. It's all. Yep. It will be very. It will be very intuitive. The technology is great. Major League Baseball has been a leader in streaming content for a long, long time. So, I think it's a massive upgrade for Twins fans and expands the reach of our games from, you know, on the television side, from somewhere a little north of 1 million fans to upwards of 4 million fans now have opportunity to watch our games and follow the Twins, just like they do every single day, listening on WCCO Radio and the Treasure Island Baseball Network. But we know fans can't, you know, have an opportunity to listen to every game. They want to listen and watch, and this is a huge step in the right direction for Twins baseball.
Dave St. Peter joining us, Twins president and CEO. One of the other big stories this offseason has been that decision by the Pollad family to explore a sale. There have been a lot of rumors out there. Dave, we keep hearing it could happen by opening day sometime this season. Can you give fans an update on that in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that question, Steve. There really isn't much I can offer on it. There is a lot of noise. There's a lot of speculation. Yep. There's a process that is underway. We're certainly involved in that process, but there really is not a definitive timetable. I know people want to, jump to the end of this and see how the story plays out, but I'm tended to be more focused day in and day out. We've got a baseball season to get ready for, and we're trying to do that. But I do know the Pollads take this process seriously. Allen & Co. was engaged to lead the process, and I think it's safe to say there's a lot of interest in from prospective buyers around who have interest in maybe buying the Minnesota Twins. It's a gem of a franchise. It's great history. Obviously, it's a well-position franchise poised to contend and hopefully win another AL Central Division title. Play at Target Field. You play in Minneapolis, St. Paul, the Twin Cities, the Upper Midwest. Those are all huge positives. So, I think we have to let this process play out, and I think it's going to lead us to the right place. And I'm excited to see where it actually does lead.
Yeah, and Dave, just kind of my thought, you think about the Griffith family and having the franchise in D.C., moving it here to Minnesota in 1961, the Pollad family in the 80s taking over. I would assume the stability and the commitment to this market is, you know, very important to the Pollad family in that decision-making process. And who does take the reins of the franchise?
Oh, no question about that. But I know people go to that concern, and I don't really share it. I think that this market is viewed as really important for Major League Baseball. I also think our market is viewed as an excellent market to own a team in. So I think any prospective buyer is going to be excited about how do we build on what is currently in place here in Minnesota, and certainly Target Field. In the North Loop neighborhood is at the top of that list around the potential over the long haul. So we have 15 years left on the lease, so which is a long time. And so I feel really good about that, Steve, that we really aren't dealing with any type of crisis scenario. And I think any prospective owner is going to come into this market and really invest and find ways to build on what's here. And the Twins will be here for a long, long time.
Yeah, and Dave, to bring that up, there have been stories about trying to extend that partnership between the community and the Twins and Target Field well beyond the current lease.
Yeah, we have a moment in time where Hennepin County is poised to lead an effort with the discussion with the legislature about the ballpark tax that was imposed to build Target Field. The bonds for that tax are slated to be paid off here in the months to come. And I think there's an opportunity here to consider if that tax were to stay on, what could it mean for the county? Largely focused on health care funding, which I think could be a huge benefit to a lot of people. But then in addition to that, there'd be a smaller piece of that tax that would be dedicated toward the future of Target Field, really aimed at ensuring that it remains one of the best ballparks in America. And in my mind, it would be a huge step toward ensuring that that's a 100-year ballpark, that we think about Target Field someday the same way we think about Fenway Park and Wrigley Field. As part of that, if it were to pass the legislature, we will extend our lease 20 years, and the Twins will be playing at Target Field all the way out through 2059. So I think there's a lot to like about this package. Clearly I'm biased, but we'll be making our case at the legislature along with Hennepin County here in the months to come.
Well, look forward to being at Target Field soon on a much warmer day than today, Dave. That's for sure. It's fun to think spring.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the time, Dave, and hope to see you soon.
Appreciate you, Steve, and look forward to seeing you at the ballpark soon. Have a good day.
There he is, Dave St. Peter, Twins president and CEO. Winter Caravan this week and Twins Fest activities. Of course, autograph Saturday, and we will be there live next Saturday between 11 and 5 with current and former players and all our hosts participating at Target Field here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Timberwolves have a big one tonight. Cleveland Cavaliers in town. Cleveland, a silly 34-6 this year. The Timberwolves 22-19. They come off a big blowout win over the Knicks last night. So they're in New York. They fly home. They get a very good Cavaliers team at home. By the way, Anthony Edwards lights out from downtown at Madison Square Garden last night. So a good win. By the way, Cat didn't play for New York in that game, but Timberwolves get the win. Once again, they get the Cavaliers tonight at Target Center. And that is a tough back-to-back. New York back to Minnesota, and you get an outstanding Cleveland team. In the first 40, they've lost 6. That is just absolutely ridiculous. And when we come back, we'll have the news, we'll have the weather, and then we'll talk golf. You see a theme here on this chilly Saturday? A little baseball, we'll talk golf, and then more baseball with Bob Nightingale, Odyssey MLB Insider at 5:35 today. We're trying to keep you warm here on this chilly day. 7 degrees now, our wind chill 12 below. And once we go below zero tonight, we won't see above zero again until Tuesday. Bundle up.